5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Now you know that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where the stars of this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I am PK.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Are you in docking now? Or
I could be in docking now. I think anyone in this room could be in docking. We could just start a band called Docking, and we would be a success if we played songs like Dream Warrior.
I can't hear no more.
I don't want to hear no more.
I can't hear no more.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Starting out with a bang. Oh, greased up deaf guy.
Hey,
I like that guy.
So we didn't have you last week. So what do you think of the mildly adjusted new theme?
I enjoyed it. It's very nice.
We got a couple familiar things that we didn't have in previous stuff there. Did you catch some of the new additions?
I did, and I'm always in favor of anything.
There was the one with the dinosaurs.
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Yeah.
Anything Wash says is always good.
What is that? What is that from?
It was that TV show that Serenity was based on.
Which one was that?
What do you guys?
Lightning Bug. It was Lightning Bug.
I don't believe it was. I don't believe it was called Lightning Bug.
Anyways,
come on, he put it in the thing. He's a finger on the trigger.
Oh, fine.
He sees me poised.
Fine. It was from Firefly.
Oh, son of. There we go.
I don't care, I'm still free. You can take the sky from me. Take me out.
Oh God, it's the whole thing.
No. We come back after the refrain. Burn the land.
All right, that's enough of that.
So there it is.
This has been my mission since starting this. I'm like, I'm going to tag
this
guy.
I saw he was poised. I knew right where he was going. I'm like, I got to help.
So there it is.
Old bits are the best bits.
Yes.
Old bits are the best bits. Yeah, so I was not here last week. I apologize for that. But, you know, listen, after being in such a professional environment earlier in the day, I found it so hard to come here and
be in a professional environment,
and being
be here
a semi-professional environment. Seriously, it was. I really wanted to be here last week, and unfortunately, work happens sometimes. I'm in a high stress job on occasion, and stress got the best of me last week.
Yeah, yeah.
So I there's understand. That. Yeah. So, but I am here this week.
Nice.
And I hope to be here going forward as we get closer and closer to 400 episodes.
Oh my God.
10 years.
We'll get some listeners back now after last week, which is good. So I'm glad you're here.
So there, yeah. I reflected upon the milestones that we are about to achieve earlier today, and it really is quite a testament to your ability to
tolerate me as a human being.
No, in all serious, I got serious this afternoon.
Hold on. Hold on. I want to sit down. Okay, go.
No, I said, I'm very proud of the product that we put out. I said, I think me and you, if you would have asked us almost 10 years ago, if we thought this was going to last 10 years, we probably would have laughed at you. Because I never thought it would last 10 years. And that's not for any particular reason. I just didn't think it would last 10 years.
Look at it this way. At the time, there was nothing else like it.
Oh, no,
there was nothing. Sure. There was no podcast like it. There was no show on radio, because don't forget, we were on XM satellite radio way back then, and then Sirius XM. There was nothing like that on there. There have been many that have come along since, you know, but at the time, it was a ridiculous notion that we could even be trying to do this, and we did it. And we're here 10 years later still doing it.
So I did reflect positively on it, and again, I gave a thanks out to PK.
You welled me up a little bit, dude. That was very, very nice, and it makes me glad that you got me over on the Instagram now, so I was able to actually even see the damn thing. So
what happened?
I posted a very nice post about
it. He said nice things, and then there was a swell of dust, because the air conditioning kicked on, and a swell of dust landed in my eyes. It was ridiculous.
So here we are, on the verge of good things. Continued good things.
I didn't see that.
I tagged you in it.
Okay.
So anyway, so here we are with episode 386 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and we are calling this one Dream Warriors.
Yep. Why not?
Yep.
It's because we didn't think of anything else, and that was the song that we played, and so there it is.
You can just call it The One with Dream Warriors in it.
That also works as well.
There we go.
Earlier this week, we did. We were able to firmly confirm our booth for New York Comic Con. So
Did we firmly confirm?
Well, we did, because we sort of confirmed booth 129 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But there was like, are we actually 127? Because we were 127 last year. Right. And we thought we were going to be in the same exact spot.
So are we further away or closer to the block?
We are further away by one booth.
Okay.
Someone else's. So the booth that was in 125 last year, which was Filthy Casual, that T-shirt company, Jessica Negri, was over there all weekend. That is now 127, and we are now 129. So we're just one.
We're in the creepy booth.
Correct. They are not there this year.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where they are. I don't know if they're at the con at all.
A lot of creepy booth.
So yes, booth 129 is where we will be. Hopefully, we have some more announcements coming up as far as exclusives are concerned.
Oh yeah. We will have raffles, of course.
We will have raffles at the booth.
We will have things to give away and accept donations for.
And look, I'm expecting a big turnout from fans this year.
Yeah.
You better come to that booth and say hello. Because I'm going to be kneecapping people afterwards if they're not there.
Boink.
I'm going to be Tanya Harding everybody up in there.
Wow.
Whoa.
So
let's take this opportunity to remind everybody that we are in the early stages of the annual Begathon.
I don't think this is the early stages.
This is the early stages.
I think the first volley has happened.
Early stages.
I think we're...
Stages are at least 7 weeks.
At least 7 weeks.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then the early stages are taking us past New York Comic Con.
No. Good. New York Comic Con is the official end of the Begathon.
So there you go.
Yeah. So lots of things happening for the Begathon. Obviously, the auctions. We had a whole bunch of them end the other day, which was really awesome. Thanks so much if you were a part of those. We have more to come. There's some currently happening. Yes, sir?
No, I was going to chime in with something else.
Oh, go on.
We have some original art.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be working with. So, without blowing up a spot until I actually talked to him, dude who said you were going to contribute some original art in the form of covers, we're taking you up on that offer. I'll be emailing you. So,
yes, that's right. Yeah, that guy was
so cool. I don't want to blow that up. But yes, that is going on as well.
Yeah. So we have.
Lots of things going on.
Yeah, we have that. So that's really awesome. OG is going to post a link to make sure that we have all those auctions.
Yep, absolutely.
Live play.
Yep.
And then what else? Oh, we have the Star Wars contest.
Yep.
The Build Millennium Falcon contest, where we're giving you boxes 1 and 2.
Yep.
And the portfolio, which holds the magazines that come with it.
Right.
Like the instruction / gray matter, as we used to call it back in the day. As well as, and we just had a look at it in the studio, the blueprints.
Awesome.
For the model. 1:1 scale blueprints for the model, rolled. It comes normally folded, but this is a very special edition. Thanks to D'Agostini and the Build a Millennium Falcon folks have sent us a couple of rolled copies, and one of those we're going to include in this as well.
And it is pretty.
I will say that we did get a handful of entries already.
Yes.
And there was a clear front runner, I think.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not saying what it is.
Okay.
Come up with your ideas.
So,
but I'm saying you better think big.
Yes. You better think big. And here's the thing. Here's what we're looking for with this contest. What are you offering us that will help us benefit the show in this time of need, the annual Begathon.
That's right.
What are you offering us to help the show? This could be monetary.
Sure.
We could always use the monetary. This could be some sort of service, not to be misconstrued in any filthy, dirty way.
Sure. We used to give out dinners with scapegoat.
We used to.
That'd be interesting.
So we're not going to entertain any filthy notions.
Sure.
However, you could also combine between those two things.
Absolutely.
So I'm saying you could be part of the show. You could be part of helping out the show, and you're going to get a great prize. Boxes one and two, the portfolio that holds the magazines, and the rolled version of the blueprints. And what's great about this also is this gets you started on the Build Millennium Falcon road, if you will. And we have made special arrangements with the Build the Millennium Falcon folks. You'll be able to call a special number that we have and tell them you want to pick up with box three. I mean, this is a huge, it's a huge
thing. That's a nice retail value package.
It certainly is.
Yes, in the hundreds of dollars.
It is at least
$1.20, right? Yeah. They're about $60 and change.
Yeah, I mean, you take into account the portfolio, the special rolled version of the. I mean, this is all great. Plus, more importantly, and forget about money, you are helping out the program,
your favorite podcast.
Yes, and if it isn't your favorite podcast,
you're helping out your second favorite podcast.
There you go.
So there it is.
It is your favorite podcast.
Of course, it is. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening, because let's face it. All right, let's move forward with the show.
Yes, we're glad that you made the choice amongst all the podcasts
right.
to choose this little show.
So we have not a voicemail this week, but we do
scare
have
everyone well, off with we all do. The regulations.
No, we got a few voicemails.
No, not that we're going to play. I mean,
we just yeah. No, I mean,
I want to change it up.
Play everything.
I want to change it up. I want to take an email. Because we encourage that as a form
correct.
Of communication with the show as well.
Very nice.
And you can send your emails to geekstuffog@gmail.com.
That's right.
Make sure you open each and every email with, hey, Kev.
Right, I have a filter that automatically deletes all of those.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You were able to create a filter that does it?
Yes, automatically deletes it.
That's awesome.
So so don't send it that way.
Okay. Just say Kev then.
That's it. Also we'll delete them.
Anything with the word Kev in
anything
it?
Anything with the word K in it. So try not to use K's. Substitute
use K
with
word.
C's. Yeah. That's it.
Don't say the K word.
There goes email from me.
There you go. Exactly. You're just P-meh. So
P-meh.
So we do have an email, rather, from iPad Carry, I believe, on the Twitter and Instagram.
iPad Carry?
Yes. He is he's a newer listener.
Oh.
But he is a devoted listener.
Oh, it's a he.
He bought new shirts when we came out with the shirts last year.
iPad Carry.
Carry.
Yeah, I got it.
Not
yeah.
Carry.
I was excited there for a minute.
So he asked, in regards to Ready Player One, whether or not...
The movie.
Whether or not we thought, by the time the movie comes out, which is 2017, I think it is scheduled for release.
Yes.
There would be some sort of MMO or VR companion release that would kind of bring you into the world... Mm. Of Ready Player One. What's the name of the game? I'm blanking.
The Oasis.
The Oasis. Yes. Yeah. And so he wanted to know our thoughts on that. And then his follow up to that was, look, Oculus Rift is making big strides.
Oh yeah.
And it would work really well with that environment, because really Oculus Rift is kind of Oasis version one. If you think about what it could be, right? The technology is sort of with the early stages of what that was in the
absolutely.
Book. So
in his initial question, I remember he mentioned, you know, is Spielberg going to be initiating this and doing this? And what I will say, I don't think this is something that's going to be under the purview of Spielberg himself.
Other than
thumbs up, you know, go have fun.
Right.
But I think the studio would be out of their fucking minds to not pursue this in some capacity. If they don't go the length of Oculus Rift, which is, you know, it's new, and who knows by that time how much of a household sort of thing it may end up being, but
what
this thing's got, just home VR has a world of potential. So I think they'd be out of their minds to not pursue it and start going down that line. If they, at the very least, producing some form of online MMO, a la your World of Warcraft, a la your EVE Online, et cetera, and creating an oasis for people to dick around in.
I have a couple of comments.
Okay.
The first one is, we should not discount Steven Spielberg's involvement in the video games attached to his properties, lest we forget the Atari 2600 version of E.T.
No, I
which actually may be a very highlighted figure in this, too. I think there's actually mention of it somewhere in... Because they mention everything in Ready Player One, so why not?
Brief sidetrack. Some of the Atari 2600 ETs that were dug up in that landfill, if you saw that thing, recently sold online for a lot of money.
Oh, no doubt.
A lot of money.
About time it earned its keep.
So there's that. And then my second comment was, you know, considering the length of time it takes to develop a game like that, if it's not already in development, I just don't see that it happens. And I don't think it's as simple as porting from something else. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that works.
So here's my answer that I think is a medium point between both of you. I don't think they will develop a full game. I think you're right. Those games take years of development. And unless you're right, unless someone is developing and we just don't know, which I guess is possible, I don't think that's going to happen.
You think they'll have an app for that?
I don't see that as possible.
Hold on. So what is that? It's the Google... It's the cardboard box. That's the glasses, and your phone goes in.
I don't know if it's a 3D thing, but it's something that your phone goes on the edge of it, and you basically wear your phone like a pair of goggles.
And so it becomes that augmented reality where when you look to the left, you see.
Yep.
You know, you're looking all around you, and you're interacting with the app that's on your phone.
Whoa.
Something like that on a small scale, I don't think would be that hard to develop in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so easily available because you can get those things fairly cheap. I think there are actually even ways to make your own. So I think doing something like that is very possible. And it could be something simple like, you know, you get a pair of 3D glasses that you're going to use to watch the movie with, and then the glasses work with your phone to create this alternate reality of seeing inside the oasis. It wouldn't be too in-depth, but it would be something.
You'd also need some sort of polarization on your phone screen as well. So that could be a hiccup, I believe. I mean, somebody with better technology than
not for the thing that exists now, because I played with it. You literally put your phone in the little box and you just look around.
And is it 3D is my question. I think in order to get 3D, you have to have a polarized screen cover of some sort.
I don't know if maybe the lenses are polar. I toyed around with it. It's not 3D, but it's pretty close to 2N1.
Here's
reality.
Here's the other thought.
You put your hand up and there's like you see shit.
Right. Here's the other thought on that too. What are the odds that they're going to make a contest out of that, similar to what people are following with in the story of Ready Player One? They've got some sort of epic contest that goes along with it to, you know, meet.
There's a lot of potential. I think more likely what you'll see is, I think rather than see something that comes out in conjunction with the film, you might see something that comes out after the film to capitalize on the success of the film. If the film
I would think that would be more likely.
Yeah. But look, the film is, even though they're saying 2017, casting hasn't even begun yet. I just read the other day that there's a short list already for Artemis, the character of Artemis.
Right.
But nothing, no one else has been cast. I mean, so I don't even know that 2017 is a reality at this point. It could be, but I don't know that it is. I think that movie is not an easy film.
Yeah, they've projected 2017. Yeah. They haven't set up a
I don't think
date.
They have a date or anything.
I think it was possibly December 2017.
Yeah,
I might be mistaken.
December 2017.
Yeah, there's not a definitive date on it yet.
It's going to be busy, isn't it?
No. So. No, because I think that's the year that they move to the spring.
Oh, is that spring for episode 8?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I think. It's either that year or it's the second standalone film. Right. I can't remember which.
All right.
I think it's episode 8, though.
Well, let's talk about Star Wars since we kind of sort of teased it a little bit.
And tomorrow night.
And thanks, Carrie.
Yes, thank you for your email.
Tomorrow night, Force Friday, 12:01 a.m. Me and OG, Livingston Toys R Us, Livingston, New Jersey. It's not Livingston.
It is Livingston.
Is that Livingston right there?
It is Livingston, yes.
Oh, I thought it was like Hanover.
No, it becomes East Hanover like just a little bit past it, but that is Livingston.
East Hanover. No, Livingston. Livingston, TRU, me and OG.
On Route 10.
Livingtover.
I'm proud to say that after looking at the release list for Friday, there's only four things I definitely want, with another maybe two or three on my maybe list.
Now let's say why this is significant. Because OG at the three previous Star Wars Midnight Madnesses.
Yes.
Midnight Madness sigh. Midnight
they Madnesses. Weren't called Force Friday. Then.
No, they were called Midnight Madness. Midnight Madness, yeah. And it was for Episode 1, Episode 2, and Episode 3.
That's right.
OG bought, well, a lot.
Well, I was, at that point in time, especially with Episode 1.
Especially.
I was a completist. So yes. I was a completist for Red Saber Card, Green Saber Card.
Right.
All the little Biddle, Shout Out to the Empire, all that little Biddle stuff.
Right.
And then Episode 1, I was a completist. So
right.
I bought everything in 3¾ scale that night. Mm-hmm. Vehicles. I mean, I bought Amidala shit. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
Anything that came out that night, yep. I bought. I even bought a handful of those shitty 12-inch.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those?
Oh, those
shitty
awful
ones? I bought Vader. Not Vader. I bought Maul.
Right.
Because I was a Maul collector. I decided already that I was going to be a Maul collector right. at that point.
We all did. I bought a double-edged saber that
night.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I bought a significant amount of things that night.
I was on tour with a theater production in Detroit. And went to a Midnight Toys R Us. I dragged one of my castmates over there and bought lightsabers, which we played with incessantly, and our other cast members loved that throughout the rest of the run. But I traveled with a whole bunch of shit that I did not need to buy.
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah.
Oh, and what a night!
I've become so focused in my Star Wars collecting,
right?
And I've, in all seriousness, with a few deviations because of the Black Series,
right?
The 6-inch Black Series,
yeah.
With a handful of deviations, I have stuck to what I collect.
Yeah.
I have stuck to Vader,
yep,
Maul, and Astromech.
That's why I maintain you're going to be a Kylo guy.
My problem is that I am not a completist on Vader and Maul.
But you don't have to be. I'm not a completist anymore either.
What I suspect is that I will make an exception for a 6-inch Kylo Ren.
Right.
That is my and I think that I will likely get a First Order trooper and maybe a Phasma.
Right.
Those might be my only deviations because I have kind of deviated with troopers in the 6-inch right. Black Series line. But that's it. I'm not getting a ton of 4-inch figures. I wouldn't be getting any 4-inch figures if there wasn't a BB-8 coming out.
I'm getting all the 6-inch because I'm doing all the 6-inch figures.
Mm.
I'm getting anything First Order
right.
in 4-inch.
Right.
And some multiples thereof.
Sure.
Because
Army Builder.
And some First Order vehicles, and I think that's it.
And I gotta
and BB-8 stuff.
Yeah, obviously. Like you gotta get that new snow speeder.
I'm getting the Sphero. I'm getting the Sphero BB-8.
Yeah.
I hope like tomorrow.
I gotta admit, I almost wasn't even gonna pull the trigger on BB-8 originally. I loved the design. I was like, I gotta have one,
right.
but I wasn't sure until it was confirmed as an astromech.
Yeah,
because at first we were like, is it really an astromech?
Right.
It kind of looks like an astromech, but we don't really know its purpose. You know, an astromech is kind of like a. I mean, it's a multitask pilot droid, right? We don't know that BB-8 was or was not going to do that. We've only seen the fucker roll.
Right.
But when they confirmed that it was in the astromech class, well, that's shit all over my bed.
Well, they showed him in the back of... Did they show him in the back of...
I don't think he was in the back of her speeder.
Not in her speeder. He was... I think if you look at the packaging of the new X-Wing...
Oh, is he in the back of the new X-Wing?
I think he is.
Okay.
I think he's in the back of, what's his name? I can't remember. I forgot his name already. Poe
Dameron.
Dameron, yeah. I think he's in, or if it's not BB-8, it's another BB-8 style droid in the back of there, or at least the little head. I don't know if it's a whole figure or not. But
that's it. I mean, I'm really getting mostly BB-8 related figures.
Oh, and I'm getting, it goes without saying because I'm getting all 6-inch, but I'm getting that TIE Fighter.
Yeah, it's pretty badass looking.
That is.
That TIE Fighter is gorgeous.
Yeah.
The 6-inch.
The 6-inch.
It's like this
it's
fucking
a monster.
Big.
Yeah, it's a monster.
Oh, I can't wait.
For me, it's the Force Effect sabers I've always enjoyed. I'm a saber guy. I'm a stage combat guy.
Sure.
I like lightsabers. And I'm pissed and surprised that they... Why don't we see a Kylo Ren Force Effect saber?
You know...
I just think...
It's the same disappointment I have that there was never a Count Dooku Force Effect lightsaber, which is a beautiful hilt.
Dooku is a shame.
Yeah.
And I don't get
there
Dooku.
Wasn't a Count Dooku.
Not a Force Effects one.
Oh, Master Replicas made one of those mega limited edition hilts.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a full saber.
They made a little kid one.
Right. And they made a plastic one.
Which I absolutely own.
I just wonder if the Kylo Ren one would be cost ineffective. That would be hard to do.
Because you got to LED light up the sides and all that too. So it's probably a hell of a wiring job. And you
wouldn't get the dirty blade look. I don't know how you would get the dirty blade look.
I think they can manage the dirty blade look by just putting random like
let the lights flicker a
little bit. Yeah, like let the lights flicker a little bit. I think that would be fine for that effect.
Yeah.
I don't say it's not coming. I just say maybe. I mean, this isn't all of it. This is wave one.
We'll feel it out.
Right.
Wave two of the 6-inch figures we already know is coming in like a month.
Yeah.
So like this is not.
It just wasn't
this
ready
is
for
just the
Friday.
Beginning. Mm-hmm. On the topic of that saber, if I may, for just one second. So you know, there's been leaks, right, of product,
uh-huh.
And we've seen almost everything at this point.
All over the fucking UK.
Yeah.
Walmart and Kearney.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, but I mean, not just all over the country.
Yeah.
It's getting out all over. We have a friend in New York, Healy Maid, who got the stuff the other day from his secret stash place,
and just
delighted in sending me pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Of all of it. That motherfucker. Are you listening? Are you listening? You motherfucker.
I love Dave. He's a swell cat.
So I wanted to share this with Ken in particular because I know that. He's going to be a big fan of that blade.
Mm.
So they showed the toy one, right? The plastic one that's coming out.
Right. Is this that Mega Builder version?
Or, I think you can add it into that system, but it's already pre-built, just like a standard pre-built one.
Okay.
So they showed a close-up, and it has the little sidebars that also pop out,
right.
So, which means they collapse when it's off. But more importantly, and I think this is really awesome, our speculation about him just kind of cobbling that saber together. If you look on the hilt, that's exactly what it looks like. There's like a random wire that's going up. Like it looks like
it's dirty.
Yeah, it's like somebody monkeyed it together. Yeah.
That's why I call it the dirty blade.
It's a basement saber.
Yeah.
basement saber.
Sticking with MacGyver saber. Sticking with Star Wars, but getting away from figures.
Oh,
There was that little Instagram teaser last week.
Speaking of sabers,
That little whatever 15 seconds because it was on Instagram. That was the day Instagram went widescreen,
which caused. Now, you and I didn't talk about this last week, did we?
We talked about it via email, going back and forth.
We've been dueling.
Okay,
via email.
I get what you did there.
See what I did there.
So here's my contention. All right, my contention is a response to your point. So why don't you make it?
So we're talking about the clip, the Instagram clip, and in that clip, probably most notably is the moment where we see Kylo Ren light up that saber in the woods, and then it cuts to John Boyega lighting up that blue beauty in the saber too. And I maintain it, and I agree. I think Matt maintains the same kind of thing that now we don't know necessarily.
Of course,
it could be an editing trick, and it's made to appear in that clip that Kylo Ren and
Boyega,
I forget his character's name. Are set to go toe to toe. He's ready to defend on that. But it could just be a trick of editing, and he's really in the woods and about to get attacked by a Wampa equivalent of wherever he's at. Who knows? Regardless of that, I maintain that's a guy. Now, not necessarily. We're not saying he's a Jedi. We're not saying he even is particularly very skilled in the thing. But that's clearly a guy who knows somewhat what he's doing. It's a guy who is wielding that saber. Ready for some form of engagement, and I that's what I maintain on that. He's somebody he knows what he's doing. In terms of the role playing game, I would almost say it's pointing towards him being what you'd call a Force adept.
I was gonna say adept. Yeah,
yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think he has that look of I know what I'm doing.
And semantically, we were going back and forth toe to toe about the use of the term wielding.
Right.
I went so far as dictionary.com
that he is not wielding it, that he is merely holding it in the manner of which somebody would hold a sword, even though they had never picked one up before, because they have seen the way it has been held, or they have some inclination as to how it should be held.
I would argue that your skill level does not play into whether or not you're wielding. I have no sword level, but I'm pretty positive if you gave me a long sword, I could at least wield the long sword.
I wouldn't be skilled at it.
But he has the look in his eye. He doesn't look like he's afraid of the saber. He knows what it is.
He has absolute confidence
and
behind
the
saber.
Like
to me,
the look in his eye is confidence. It's not, I could cut my pinky off.
And of note is he's doing the classic wield to the side, which is important with a saber because a saber is a bright piece of light.
You can't hold it in front of your
eyes. If you're wielding it the way in the old trilogy, kind of in front of you, you've got that bright light in front of you. It's going to interfere with your vision of your enemy. He's got that classic almost samurai warrior stance while holding it to the side and keeping that out of his front view towards his pending opponent.
Let's talk about that saber for a moment.
All right.
I don't think there's any question anymore what that saber is.
Yeah. So that is Anakin's saber.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it is then became Luke's saber. Correct. Lost in Cloud City.
Yep.
Right.
So we're pretty 95% confident that that's what that blade is. The other rumor is that John Boyega is carrying that blade for about a third of the movie. There's also another rumor that it's actually hidden inside BB-8 for a majority of that time.
Hmm.
So, bringing this saber, getting the saber to Leia, by the way, who we know is who is handed to in that scene by, we don't know who is handing it to her, but somebody's handing Leia that saber. So, whatever we make of that particular situation, I mean, it's kind of great because, you know, the pieces are kind of, they're not giving anything away, but they're giving enough away for us to have a great conversation about
it. We're ramping towards Clash of the Fanboys in there. We've got the Darth fanboy, potentially, but by our speculation, and then we have potentially the Luke fanboy on the other end of the spectrum. And
I don't think he's Force adept. I don't think he has anything whatsoever to do with Jedis at all.
I think that this conversation is interesting, but we have no actual facts at this point.
Speculation.
I think we should move forward.
Fun speculation, that's it.
Fine. Right,
let's move forward.
And fan theories, which got shit all over on Twitter today, so let's not go down that road.
Bum, bum, bum. Let's see what else do we want to hit, because we're running long already. That's impressive.
We could take a break.
No, we can hit a couple. Let's hit a couple of things real quick.
How about this Ecto beer?
Let's talk about it. We can talk about Ecto beer. I simply pulled this up or shared this because I love Ecto Cooler. I'm one of those people who don't think that I just loved it in my memory. I'm pretty positive I rather enjoyed it.
I'm not sure, but you're pretty positive.
I'm pretty positive I enjoyed it. That being said, I would be interested in trying the Ecto beer. I don't think that I would like the Ecto beer. I don't know. That's a flavor to me that does not translate quite as well as, let's say, root beer.
Right.
Hmm. So this is we're talking about Tired Hands Brewing Company based out in Ardmore, PA.
Yep.
And they're debuting, they're calling it Necto Cooler.
Of course.
For reasons that the law provides.
So I'm not a beer drinker, so this, I'm kind of, I'm just curious to, and actually, I was curious to hear both of your thoughts, but you're not a beer drinker either. We've only just gotten into the realm of the root beer not long ago.
That's right, Ken. I have a beverage of choice, like most people. My alcoholic beverage of choice. Not your father's root beer.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I don't know. Like the Count Chocula beer was another one where I was like, that's not the same company, but I was like, I can't imagine that's good. I like a chocolate stout.
Yeah.
But the Count Chocula beer kind of, but anyway.
With the Necto Cooler, I would be curious if it carries an Ecto Cooler taste. Much like the Not Your Father's root beer tastes like fucking root beer. I'm curious if this Necto Cooler tastes like friggin' Necto Cooler.
But see, that's the thing.
Without a beer taste.
Ecto Cooler was like, it was an orange flavored drink. That would be weird as a beer because it would have carbonation.
Right.
I see it wasn't carbonated.
It would be like Blue Moon.
Blue Moon is good though. And it's not orange drink flavored. It's just
enhanced by the
orange
slapping it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Doctor Who, it was announced today that River Song would be making her return to the show in this year's Christmas special.
But I thought she's dead.
In one version of the timeline.
Oh.
It's a time show, sir.
So I don't watch the program, sir. All I know is that she's dead.
She's a time traveler.
Alrighty then.
From the future.
Multiple universes.
Yeah.
Kevin.
By the way, did you see this week's Rick and Morty?
Yes,
oh my God, it was brilliant.
Colbert was outstanding.
Outstanding. So yes, River Song, which is exciting. I like River Song. I like Alex Kingston. I think she's a great actress. So
I loved her on ER.
Was she on ER?
Yeah.
Was she a regular on ER?
Elizabeth Corday.
Oh, that's right.
She married Mark Green, who was played by Anthony Edwards.
Oh, there you go. She was on a.
I wish I had the sad cancer song queued up.
She was on Arrow as well. She plays Sarah and Laurel Lance's mother.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, I remember.
So now I haven't even gotten to River Song. Thanks for the spoiler, Kev. And she's introduced in the whole Dr. Soupy hair era, right? Is that
no?
Or does she show up for with Dr. Bagpipe?
She shows up with Dr. Bagpipe.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, did I ruin that for you? She's dead. Dead.
I don't care. She's dead, Dave. Everybody's dead.
I just started rewatching Eccleston again because I just can't.
All right, sticking with the CW, very quick. I have two things that I want to talk about. There was a new trailer this week, just came out today, as a matter of fact, for iZombie season 2. I mean, if you're a fan of that show, check out the trailer. It looks really good. I loved season 1. I'm not surprised I got picked up for season 2. So that's coming in a handful of weeks. 6 weeks, I think, we're away from all of those CW shows starting to kick off.
So have they put out Flash season 1 or Arrow season 3?
They both should be very soon.
Yeah, I gotta.
They both should be very soon. I really would
like to catch up before the new season so I could be.
They will be up before the new season, so I would say in the next week or two, if not already.
Where, on Netflix, you think?
Hopefully, yeah.
Oh, I hope so.
But speaking of Arrow,
there
was a new piece of promotional artwork that was released earlier this week.
Oh, boy.
And it's a billboard that simply reads, Coast City, in brightest day and darkest night, come to Coast City when money's tight. And, of course, this is some promo artwork for season 3. They have been teasing Coast City, Green Lantern, since season 1. I mean, Ferris Air has been mentioned a couple times.
Right.
Coast City has been mentioned before at least once or twice.
Right.
Although earlier last year, the producers of the show were like, well, with the Green Lantern Corps movie, probably not going to happen.
Not until 2020.
But with this piece of promotional artwork, I mean, why else would they bring him to Coast City if not to introduce Hal Jordan? It just seems really weird.
It seems
like a waste to me.
And the real shame of it is that Nathan Fillion is way out of shape to play him now.
To play him now.
What the hell happened to Nathan Fillion?
Well, he's aged a bit.
He's aged and what? Drinking and eating?
He's a writer now. He's not spry Captain Mal Reynolds.
He is not spry anything.
Oh,
he's
Nathan
like fried.
Is just fine.
He's just saying. I mean, am I crazy or does he look
He put on a couple pounds.
He looks like he might be struggling to see the hammer in the toolbox there.
See what I'm saying?
He put on a couple pounds. So, Coast City is coming to Arrow season 4. Hopefully we get to see Green Lantern. That'd be nice.
I'm Green Lantern. Anyone have a sandwich?
And actually, they flat out teased Hal Jordan at one point in time. They actually reference a pilot that disappeared from Ferris Air Force Base. It's there. They've laid the groundwork. Maybe they're just poking at it to see what WB says.
Sure.
Or that was Amelia Earhart.
Or it was Amelia Earhart. So I hope we get to see that. Flash also released a new poster this week. That was just Jay Garrick's helmet. So, I mean, we already know we're getting Zoom.
Right.
We already know we're getting Flash from, whatever, Earth 2, Jay Garrick.
Right.
So that's all coming up in a couple of weeks.
Cool.
I think with that, we could take our first break.
Oh, at last.
Yes, at last.
And with that, OG,
at last,
we will take a monumental break on this episode 386.
Six is correct.
And we'll be right back.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. There are two new big releases this week. The first is Metal Gear Solid V: The Phantom Pain. I'm currently playing through it, and it is a beast of a game. Tons of missions and side missions, all in an open environment where they give you an objective, and it's completely your choice on how to do it. Sneak in under the cover of night, or make a run for the target, guns blazing. But obviously it's going to be harder playing a stealth game like a shooter. The enemy will radio in backup and search your position, but that's all up to you. Going in quiet has been my approach, and I found it to be one of the best stealth games I've ever played. While this is Metal Gear Solid V, it's much, much different than the past numbered games. Gone are the overly long cutscenes in favor of an overabundance of missions. long, hour-long missions that make you want to see the next story mission cutscene, only to realize there isn't one. There's just another mission. So there is that trade-off. But how will these changes be received? I don't know. The game just came out. Metal Gear Solid 5 The Phantom Pain is out now for $60 on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC. The game I'm not currently playing is Mad Max for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. It's got Batman-style combat with an emphasis on souping up your car, and the art direction is taken from the recent Mad Max film. It's getting average reviews, but I don't have an opinion on the game. I haven't played it yet. If you're looking for a big action game and you know you're not going to play Metal Gear, Mad Max is out now for $60 on the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. And finally, last week I reported that the slasher film-themed adventure game Until Dawn had piqued my interest. And after I finished playing it, I would absolutely recommend you check it out as well. I loved every minute of it, and the choices affect your outcome, so I can't wait to play it again. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
One replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. Working lights and stunning interior detail. Complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step by step with your comprehensive build guides, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
And we are back with a Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 376, and we're calling this one Dream Warriors. Is that what we decided?
You named it.
I named it. Dream Warriors. It is. There it is.
You have to pronounce it right. It's actually Dream Warriors.
I think we're calling it the one with Dream Warriors in it.
Either one works. I'll put one in the feed, one on the website. You pick. Name your own adventure.
Which title did you pick? Give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And let us know.
There you go.
We're craving a title.
Oh, boo. Millennium Falcon. During the break there.
Yes.
Of course, buildmillenniumfalcon.com. If you'd like to check them out, go to buildmillenniumfalcon.com. Check out the commercial that's on our website. Or you can give them a call. PK, do you have that number there?
Yeah, that's going to be 877-544-6779.
So there you go.
Yeah, and you definitely want to check it out. I maintain one of the best Star Wars collectibles I've ever seen.
That's right.
One of those, and we just saw, we took a look at the rolled version of the blueprints and remembered how enormous this thing actually is.
So yeah, definitely get in on it. Of course, remember the contest from segment one. Yes. Get in on that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, check them out. They're a great sponsor of the show. Uh-huh. We appreciate their sponsorship. Uh-huh. And they're putting out an awesome product.
Awesome product.
So we also had a Game Stuff during that segment.
Yes.
So you know, Coke Logic had some. There were some big releases this week. I think what was the big one? Was it Metal Gear Solid?
Metal Gear Solid, yeah, it was yesterday.
And was Call of Duty this week as well?
Madden was like last week, I think. And that's a big thing.
Yeah, it was Metal Gear Solid, Mad Max, and Until Dawn.
Oh, Mad Max.
The three big ones, yeah. So
I wonder if Mad Max, do we know, is it like open? Open play?
You know what?
Is it first person?
I don't know. But I'm sure Coke Logic mentioned it during that segment.
Coke Logic, tweet me and let me know if I should get Mad Max.
There you go. Well, listen to the segment. He'll tell you in the segment.
I want to know personally from him what his thoughts are for me. He knows me as a player.
Okay.
So.
All right, fair enough.
And you know, and I can't tell you how excited I am about the fact that we're getting ever closer to the Xbox One sort of retro back
Red Dead
ending. Oh my god, I cannot wait. Cannot wait to be able to play Red Dead again.
So to kick off the show part of segment two, I think PK might have had something he wanted to speak on, because I saw the vein start to go early on in the show.
Okay. Well, how about first the news aspect of it?
Okay, go ahead.
Horowitz, the pending new author behind the upcoming James Bond novel that's set to release this fall. He's chosen by the estate. He's written Sherlock Holmes novels and whatnot. He's got a pretty good pedigree along there. And he's writing the next Bond novel, and boy, did he make a boneheaded statement. I believe it was in an Esquire article. And he's receiving a lot of flack about it. He said in an interview, he's quoted as saying that he feels that Idris Elba is too street to play James Bond.
Okay.
And internet go boom.
Right. Internet did, in fact, go boom.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a boneheaded statement. I can't fathom what he was thinking.
I think you should have just avoided the topic.
Yeah. Or. Yeah, actually, that probably wouldn't. As a pending author with a property he's going to want to sell, avoiding it entirely may have been a wise choice. It's a boneheaded statement. I don't know that I can buy that it's a racist, flat out racist statement. Certainly classist. But interpret it how you will. Matter how you slice it, it's fucking bone. Wow! They're upset. Man.
That was a bad one.
That was a bad one.
Earthquake.
I'm glad
in studio.
I moved from that
this just
chair.
This just in. Part of the studio has collapsed onto OG.
Wow, that's going to be a cleaner upper later.
Wow,
that's all right.
Everything all right?
We'll see. I won't know till later.
Again, right. Part of the studio has collapsed.
What did you do, Ray?
Covering OG in bits of toy
and Muppets toys. I want to get back to your rant. Hold on. Let's not derail this.
That was awesome.
So the internet did go boom.
Internet exploded and whatnot. And what it's done is it's revived the discussion about Idris Elba playing the role of James Bond. And you've got half the internet is 100% behind it, voraciously behind it. And the other half of the internet is 100% not behind it, voraciously not behind it. And in between is ridiculousness, and I'm so tired of this conversation.
I saw one terribly racist comment that said Bond, bail Bond.
Oh fuck.
That is terribly racist. All right, let me throw this out there.
Yep.
What are your honest opinions, if you don't mind giving your honest opinions?
I don't mind.
On Idris Elba playing Bond. I don't think that he should play Bond.
Here's my honest opinion. I agree with you. I don't think Idris Elba should play Bond.
And I want to go on the record. I love Idris Elba. I love everything that he has been.
Also agree with you there. I've never seen him in a bad thing.
No. The man is a tremendous powerhouse.
Luther is one of the best shows that BBC puts out. I love that show. I loved him in Pacific Rim. I love him in Thor. I love him in anything I've ever seen him in. I love him as an actor.
Yep.
That being said, I don't think he should play Bond.
I absolutely agree. And my biggest frustration in holding that feeling is with reasonable folks, I can. But in general, when I get involved in comment threads, where you know, of course, it's the haven for reasonable discussion is Twitter and comment threads.
Yeah.
But when I get involved in these discussions, I am immediately lumped in because I don't agree with him playing the role. I'm lumped in I'm called a racist. The name's bandy about, and the adult conversation goes right out the window. And I'm not permitted to make my points, and it's infuriating that this can't be discussed in a reasonable, rational way.
There is a gentleman who is a longtime friend of the show. I don't know that he listens regularly, but I consider him a friend of the show, and we see him at every single con that we go to in Artist Alley. He's a very talented artist, Jamal
Engel.
Yeah.
Jamal Engel.
Lovely guy. I think it's Igel. I don't think there's an N in there.
It is. It's I-N-G.
Is it?
Oh. I think it's I-N-G.
Either way. He would agree with our position that Idris Elba should not play Bond. And for those of you who are not familiar with Jamal, he's a black fella. So is that racist? Because I toyed around with other words.
You're
stating
a fact.
Nothing I say here is going to be safe. But look, I do think that sometimes, for similar reasons why I felt the same way about Peter Parker, I do think that sometimes you should not toy with the race of an established character. I think that the race of a character sometimes helps identify that character for who they are. That's not a racist statement.
You're correct.
And the best example I could give to this, to the other side of this, is what if we cast Nathan Fillion as Black Panther? That would cause a problem.
Or Christian Bale as John Shaft.
Right.
Or
Michael B. Jordan as the Human Torch.
No.
Wait, that happened.
Right. I honestly believe that, or Donald Glover as Peter Parker. I honestly believe that in some instances, the race of the character is as important characteristic as everything else about that character.
Here's my stance. I've been a James Bond fan pretty much my entire life. I started with Roger Moore as a kid. That's my first introduction. My dad took me to movies. I and I've grown to despise everything about Roger Moore, because then I started reading the books.
Right.
And once I got a hold of Ian Fleming's books, it eviscerated any love I had for Roger Moore films to the point where I can't stand those films. I'll watch Honor Majesty's Secret Service over anything else. In those.
Wow.
And that's unpopular, I know, but it's actually not as brutally bad a movie as some folks make it out to be. Sidetracked.
Is that the George Lazenby one?
That's the Lazenby one, yeah. But James Bond is Ian Fleming. Ian Fleming wrote a fantasy version of his own life, and James Bond is an amalgamation of Ian Fleming and four. Other people that he's worked with and experienced in his career. And Bond is his fantasy amalgamation of these people. And he is very particularly described in the books. And probably most solidifying the picture of Bond is what happened I think it was 58, I think. I have to Google it. But in around 1958, they looked to make a comic strip of right. James Bond. And they approached Ian Fleming to do this, this artist team. And Fleming said, well, I make the call on the look. And they worked meticulously hand in hand with Ian Fleming to get what his definitive picture of James Bond was. And there you can look it up. You can find the sketch online easily enough. And what came out of that was you look at that sketch and you can see Ian Fleming in there. You can see a hint of Peter Cushing, actually, a young, dashing, handsome Peter Cushing. There's a twinge of Cary Grant, but it's a very definitive, meticulous picture of Bond. And that is James Bond.
Absolutely.
And if you drastically deviate from that template, you are essentially excising Ian Fleming from his own creation. And to compare it to Tron, get ready for this. I'm going to actually pull a Tron analogy into James Bond. But we know in Tron how when they wrote their programs, you know, the programs look like them inside the grid. You know, Clue looks like Kevin Flynn. Tron looks like Alan Bradley. Ian Fleming, he's written the program of James Bond. That
Absolutely.
Is his soul is in that character. And you're disrespecting the original artist by dramatically changing that template. It has nothing to do with racism. This is the original artist concept.
I struggle
with it in any
Are you aware that there's a new comic book coming out?
Yeah, we talked about that here, actually.
Oh, we did?
And I'm eager to see their artist's rendition and how close it goes to that template. I'm hoping it's spot on. It would be very nice if
I've
they
seen some preview art
that.
For it. It looks really good.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I mean, look, not everything is racist. It's a shame that that's the society that we live in, that everything gets painted that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Idris Elba is an amazing actor.
Or migrant workers. Not everything is racist or migrant workers. We have fans in Europe.
Sure, you never know.
We want to tailor it for the Europe crowd.
For the Europe crowd?
Not everyone is a migrant worker.
All right, fair
enough. Save, sir.
But there it is. So there's the...
So yeah, I hope I've made my point. And listen, please engage me with it on Twitter.
But let's do it in an adult manner.
But be an adult about it. The moment you throw racism in my face about it, you're simply going to get blocked. I will engage you with a reasonable aspect. We've already covered how wonderful an actor Idris Elba is. We don't discount that, and certainly he would play the role phenomenally. But it's just not correct. Will I boycott the film? Will I go that route? No. It's James Bond. I will not see a James Bond movie. But I am going to struggle with that like I would with any character that is firmly established by the artist that created them. I'm going to struggle if they deviate from what that artist described or rendered in their creation.
I agree 100%.
PK, that was a very, very well done, very articulate conversation, and I believe that you presented your point very accurately.
Thank you. So I am sweating fucking bullets over this right
now,
so I appreciate
that. I want to say that. Now, I also want to say, so you're kind of an Ian Fleming expert.
Kind of. You're going to hit me with some trivia on the spot.
Please, please explain Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I guess that's his Hobbit.
Is that what that is?
He's like, you know what? Enough of this
which
spy
character,
nonsense. I need something lighter.
Which character in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is Ian Fleming? Is he Dick Van Dyke?
The car?
He's the car.
It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Is he the guy who owns the candy factory?
The muffler is part Ian Fleming. The steering wheel is...
Is he the character portrayed by Benny Hill?
Oh, my Lord.
Right, let's move forward with the news.
Well, actually, there's a lead into this.
Okay, good. Do it.
For James Bond down the line, Daniel Craig is going to hang it up eventually. The rumor is he's got one more under contract, and the feeling is that might be a rumored second part to Spectre. But my pick for his successor right now, who matches the description quite closely and has the intensity, I think Michael Fassbender would be a fabulous follow-up Bond to what they've established with the Craig universe.
Well, thank you for saying Michael Fassbender. That ties nicely into our last two stories for
the evening. Look at me, the king of segues.
Silly rabbit, segues are for kids.
All right, Michael Fassbender has been all over the interwebs this week. Although sort of low-key, not a lot of buzz, or as much buzz as I thought. The first thing that got a lot of buzz was the first image appeared online from Michael Fassbender in the Assassin's Creed movie.
Oh, yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't know, this has been a pet project of his. He's wanted to do this. He's wanted to be involved in it. He's
producing the shit out of this one, too, isn't he?
He was integral in getting it made. It wasn't going to happen without him. So, Assassin's Creed. I hate the fucking games. Not because they're not amazing games, because my fingers don't bend that way. I can't play the games.
You need to get that pirate one. But I heard that one's very good.
I know, but I've played the pirate one, and my fingers don't bend that way.
Oh, okay.
The stories behind the games are amazing. I've been in love with the mythology that the games have created since the first one, and I've played a bunch of them.
We missed an evolutionary step. Like, the new generation of kids that play video games grew those special articulate thumbs and pinkies and extra fingers that sprout. We unfortunately have not hit that mutant phase ourselves. We're beyond it.
It was they were born with an N64 controller in the womb, because I think that's where it started. So the first appearance of Michael Fassbender in Assassin's Creed appeared online. It looks great.
He looks spectacular.
He looks like the main character. He looks exactly what you would think Michael Fassbender would look like doing a really good cosplay of Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
vicious.
That's what
he
it
looks
is,
vicious.
Like, amazing cosplay, like the best you've ever seen, studio quality.
You mean like apocalypse quality, or
yep.
Oof.
Oh. The other thing that got not a lot of buzz, and certainly I would think is not in the general realm of our listening audience, but fuck them, it's our show.
No, bullshit, because there's a lot of swords and fighting and shit.
There is.
Yep.
There is, but sometimes, you know, sometimes the S word scares people away.
Shitbag?
Yeah, that's it. So,
Shingles?
The new trailer for the Scottish movie starring Michael Fassbender
as
Macbeth appeared online this past week.
Great. Now the other side of the studio is going to
collapse
on
me.
You had a preliminary collapse using that word.
Isn't the mythology is you can use the name when referencing the character, but you cannot use it when referencing the show?
You reference the show.
And in a theater.
I called it the Scottish movie, and then I named him as the character.
Sir, we are not in a theater.
I know. It's a stupid thing anyway.
Aren't we?
It's a bunch of hogwash.
But aren't we performing?
Well, maybe. That trailer looks...
Under.
That trailer looks amazing.
It does look spectacular.
Yeah.
He looks spectacular, and I think he'll be tremendous in the role, but I think I find myself more excited for what Marion Cotillard is going to be doing with Lady Macbeth.
Cotillard.
She is a stunning actress, and I'm really eager to see.
And Lady Macbeth is such
a
nuanced character.
Yeah.
I mean, for those of you not familiar with Macbeth, I'm not going to explain it to you. But
she could almost be over Macbeth
hold
in this
Hold on, PK.
Tale.
Oh, no,
no,
I don't.
No, go on.
Oh, no, I can't accurately
I want to hear
it.
Your scholarly...
Oh, no, absolutely
your
not.
Scholarly
no, I will,
writ
I will,
on...
I will admit to you that I cannot explain Macbeth. Not even going to try. So there it is.
I'll explain it. It looks damn good.
The
this
movie looks awesome.
Looks really good.
The movie looks great, so you should absolutely check that out. Check out the trailer. We'll try to post a link online. And with that, I think that's it for this week's show. So we can go right into the plugs.
Wow.
Don't forget, of course, we have the Begathon going on right now. More information for that in the show notes on the Facebook page, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. Also on the Twitter accounts, we'll be talking about the Begathon. So that's at BKGeekStuff, at GeekStuffOG, and...
At KR Marlow, MARLO.
There you go. What else? The GVM line...
425-920-6050.
Is that right off your cue card there, PK?
The 425 was.
Hey, listen,
but
you know
getting
what?
There.
I give him credit. At least he's prepared. Yeah, some other people.
Wow.
So, so there's that. Also,
just
of course,
because he can't hear you.
That's not my fault. There are so many things I want to say that none of them are appropriate. Don't forget, of course, we have the contest going on for the Build the Millennium Falcon we talked about in segment one and at the beginning of segment two. And I think that's it for all the plugs, yeah?
I think so. Plug the Star Wars contest.
We plugged the Star Wars contest.
Plug the Begathon.
Plug the Begathon.
Plug the
New York Comic Con booth 129.
Yeah, there's
come
that.
Visit us there.
Yeah.
And I think that's it, Big Kevin.
New York Renaissance Fair this Labor Day Monday.
Oh, that's
I
right.
I shall be up there and hanging out.
And this weekend is Time Travelers Weekend.
This is Time Travelers Weekend, so bring
go
your sonic
in the Star
screwdrivers.
Trek suit?
Steampunk attire, Star Trek.
I will probably poke fun, but you're certainly welcome to do that.
Can you beam down to the Ren Fair this weekend?
What a strange land we beam across someone's head.
I'd consider going in steampunk here if I were going.
Spock, I don't know what's going on.
I think that's it. Big Kev.
And with that, OG, we will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close. The way we end most episodes by saying good night, Wes Craven, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Sure and hurt.